This is the seven proofs of God, number five. Now, we've covered the seven proofs of God. Let's just review them again. Past. So as we come to it now, the next one here is fulfilled prophecy, and I'm going to add to it fulfilling current prophecy, because we live in unusual times today. Now, we saw Book of Daniel, just review it. You have Babylon, Greece, Persia, Rome. Now, Rome continues all the way down to the end. Now, also, let's look at some prophecies at the end time. Let's just ask the question as we go along here. Is it happening? So let's come to Matthew 24. Now, we also have other sermons on the prophecies of Christ, all of those being fulfilled. We have in the Bible, we have 28 prophecies fulfilled in one day, that is the crucifixion day. Now, here in Matthew 24, we find some very interesting things that present themselves as an ongoing thing, but also special and particular things that will happen. Let's first of all come to verse 21. Verse 21. Because this talks about the times in which we are living, but it also is a prophecy that is building to be fulfilled and being fulfilled that was not fulfilled in the past. Now, we know that when Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, there were many of the things in the first part of Matthew 24 that Jesus talked about that happened. But here we come to verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. Now, how great is that tribulation going to be? Verse 22. And if those days were not limited, there would no flesh be saved. At what point in history did we come to the means, the possibility of destroying all flesh? Hadn't happened from the time of Christ right up to that time. See, there are wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, false prophets. But at what point were we in history, and it was in all of our lifetimes here, that now the means was in the hands of men that had the potential to destroy all life? The atomic bomb. That's correct. Never before. Now, they've had things that killed a lot of people. They had all the incendiary bombs that they dropped on Germany and Japan. But those would not reach the point of causing all flesh to be exterminated. Okay? Now, has that increased from the dropping of the first atomic bomb? Yes, indeed. So now we have bigger atomic bombs. Now we have hydrogen bombs. Now, we also have bombs that are electromagnetic bombs. We also have things that can destroy food, destroy crops, to say nothing of our own self-destruction with the genetically modified foods. Now they're beginning to find out that there are sicknesses that we are suffering from that have been caused by the genetically modified foods. Okay? So we're reaching those days. All right, let's go back and look at some of them leading up to it. Verse 3. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him alone, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the completion of the age? So they already knew a lot of things, see? They already understood. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Be on guard so that no one deceives you. Very key important thing, see. This is why we are told to prove all things. Because many things that sound blessedly true because they appeal to what we want may not be blessedly true. Verse 5, For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. How many versions of Christianity do we have today? Can't count them. They all think they're right. They all claim they're following Christ. People would even be willing to die for it. Okay. Shall deceive many. Now the many are the majority. Has that been fulfilled? Okay. Let me check something here. Okay. Hold your place here in Matthew 24. Go to Luke 12. And as you're turning there, let's ask the question. Is Jesus Christ saving the world today? Well, if he is, he's doing a very poor job of it. Okay? Is the church, or are what are known as Christian churches, are they preaching messages which are going to save the world? No. Okay? Because here's another prophecy that we will see is being fulfilled. Verse 32, Luke 12. Okay? Do not fear, little flock. Would you say Orthodox Christianity is a little flock? Would you say that Protestantism is a little flock? Or some of the others that profess Christianity? No. What is a little flock? Well, we'll find out in just a minute. For your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. All right. Is the kingdom here? No. Is it coming? Yes. Now back to Matthew 24, and we will see some of the events leading up to it. And as we're going back to Matthew 24, let's understand that today we live in a very unique time and we're in a very unique position that other generations and other people were never able to have the fulfilling of these things happen right in front of their eyes on a worldwide basis. When we get to the end time, I'll just mention here, everything is worldwide, global, international, all nations, all kindreds, all peoples, all tongues. It involves the whole world. Do we have such a society today? Yes, we do. So they would deceive the many. Now, this happened leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem. But it's happened in cycles ever since then. Okay? But also, I want you to think of it this way. Think of it as if you were watching your evening news. Because now we can have something happen. Somewhere, any place on earth. And we know about it immediately. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Right in the middle of it, aren't we? See that you do not let these things disturb you, for it is necessary that all these things take place, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. All of those are taking place right now. They have taken place in the past, but now everyone in the world can have the information and knowledge when these things take place. They had a volcano go off in Indonesia and earthquakes there. they're still having earthquakes in Japan. And look what happened when that took place. The whole world knew of it instantly. Okay? We have famines. We have pestilence. He says, now all of these are the beginnings of sorrows. Now, we would have to say that that statement, the beginning of sorrows, can apply in different times coming down to the end, but it's going to apply particularly at the end. Let's see what'll happen here. Then they shall deliver you up to affliction. Is all Christianity being hated? Yes. Whether the false kind or the true kind. And shall kill you. And you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now that's happened down through history. You read the history of the so-called Christian church. They persecuted and martyred heretics. Verse 10. And then many shall be led into sin. That's happened from that time until this. But question, are more and more people being led into sin? Yes, indeed. A greater number through greater means? Because now we have all of the high-tech things. We have all the media things. We have education. We have government gone amok, schools gone amok, churches gone amok, rejection of God, okay, led into sin, and shall betray one another. Well, that's happened over and over again. But here in America, there's a very unusual thing now. You can call a government hotline with a hot tip, and you can accuse someone of something, and if they're arrested, they don't have to know who you are. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Turn on your television. Look in your yellow pages. How many churches are there? Now here's a key thing right here, verse 12. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied. Now lawlessness is casting aside the law of God. Are people doing that today? Lawlessness is also creating laws by government which are lawless against God. Now, how about the last part of this verse? And the love of many shall grow cold. How's our society? Loving? No. Mm-mm. Here in this little town of Hollister, because of a recent murder of a girl and a woman. You know, when those of us who are older, okay, when we grew up, we could walk to school. No problem. We could go down to the park and play with the kids. No problem. Today, don't have that. Today, right here in this street, right in front of where we meet, going to the high school, parents go down and pick up their kids. Same way with the grade school. They don't dare let the little kids walk home. Who knows who's going to kidnap a child, be molested, or killed? Lawlessness. So the love of many shall grow cold. Who can you trust? Who can you believe? But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. Okay. How do you endure to the end? Well, that's worth another whole sermon in itself. But you do it by loving God. You do it by keeping his commandments. You do it also by being wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Okay? Don't throw yourself in the midst of trouble. You know, like it says in the Proverbs, don't interfere in a dog fight because you're going to get bit. Okay? We have to endure what? And today, what are the things we have to endure? Well, all the oppression from government, all the lies from the religious institution, all of the wrong teachings in the schools, all of the rebellious children who have never been taught to obey their fathers and mothers, and they don't know what is decent. Okay? And it says back in Isaiah 3 that children will be your oppressors. Okay? So we have to endure that. We have to be on guard on every one of these things. Who's telling the truth? What is the truth? Why is the truth in the Bible the truth and something that someone devises over here, though it sounds like the truth, is not the truth, so therefore we don't do that. Okay? Okay? So all of these things. So we have all of these challenges now heaped upon us. And every one of them has been prophesied. And they are happening. All right? Now let's see what then has to take place. So people want to know, when is the end? When is the end? Well, Jesus said, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour. Okay? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations. Now notice the phrase, in all the world. That means all the world. Are there the means to do it today that were not available to the apostles, that were not available until the advent of the printing press, and then the radio, and then television, and now all the media devices? You can sit right here in this room, because almost everyone here has some type of handheld media device. I hate to call it a phone because it's more than that. Okay? Just to show you how quickly it can be done. Someone can send you a text message, and you may have your phone turned off, but if you have it in your pocket, it'll go vroom, vroom, and, okay, you take it out. Come home instantly, your house is on fire. Whatever the message, see. Didn't have that ability before. Before the advent of telephones and all of the things that we have now, all of the media devices and communication media devices, you know? Who ever thought that you'd be able to sit down to a phone hooked up to your computer that's got a little teeny camera right up at the top of it, and you sit there and you go through a certain program and you can contact grandma 2,000 miles away, and all the grandkids can be right here. Hi, Grandma. Real time. See, so when these things come about, we're looking at real time fulfillment. Okay? Proclaim to all the world as a witness to all nations. Now, we can do that. Okay? I'm still waiting for my first communication from the South Pole. Verse 15. This has not yet happened. This next verse was not fulfilled when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. All right? Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. All right. When the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, there was no abomination of desolation. Okay? This is a future one, so we can look to it. This is why you have the parenthetical statement here. The one who reads, let him understand. Now, if you have a red letter Bible, if that's in red letters, okay, Jesus did not speak those words. Those were added there by the Apostle John, because in Revelation 11, he had a vision of the temple and told to measure it. And he got that vision in Revelation about 95 AD. That was 25 years after the destruction of the temple. And the Romans made sure that no one was going to rebuild the temple. No one. They tried to do it in 135 AD with the Bar Kokhba revolution. Rabbi Akiba and Bar Kokhba, who was proclaimed the Messiah. and the Romans came in and absolutely crushed them. You've seen the movie Masada? How many know what Masada is? That's that desert fortress high on a pinnacle cliff, south and east of Jerusalem. And the last of the rebellious Jews got up there, and they withstood the Roman army for 2 full years. They had food, they had water, they had everything there. And the Roman general, I forget the name of the general, but he was so determined to get those Jews, he took all the Jews that he had captive, and they had to build a rampart going up, way up the side of that cliff. And they finally got up there, and they finally got in there, and all the Jews deprived them of the slaughter because they committed suicide. Okay? All through all of that, no abomination of desolation. The temple area has been overrun by the Muslims and Gentiles ever since. Now the Jews came back in 1948. Okay, so let's bring in another prophecy here. Let's come to Zechariah, the 12th chapter, Zechariah 12. Now, what is it that the Jews have believed after rejecting Jesus for 2,000 years? They have believed what? That when the Jews control Jerusalem and build the temple, then Messiah will come. Okay? And in a sense, that is true, but it's not his first coming, it's his second coming. Okay? Now, Zechariah 12. Let's pick it up here in, let's just start in verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. Thus says the Lord who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him, showing that God is creator, designer, sustainer, and all the things that we've talked about here earlier, see. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. Now, as I'm reading this, ask yourself the question, is this true today? And remember that this was written about 2,400 years or more ago. Okay? I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people around, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. Now stop and think about what's happening there around Jerusalem. They haven't yet built the temple yet, have they? But what's involved? We've got the Turkish army. We have the Syrian army. We have the Jordanian army. We have Hezbollah. And we have Hamas, we have the everyone around there, and remember, right there at Jerusalem, the widest point from the Mediterranean Sea to the eastern boundary of what they call Israel is 12 miles. 12 miles. Like driving from Hollister to Gilroy. That's it. You've crossed the country. Okay? Now what has happened to fulfill this, see? Now God is going to protect them. And that's why I say, when Achmaminijad says, we're going to destroy the Jews, someone needs to send him the book of Esther to remind him what happened to the Persians, their ancestors, when they tried to kill all the Jews. All right. Continuing now. Burdensome stone for all people. All who burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Have we had successful peace negotiations? Have we had successive wars? Bombings? Have the Jews armed themselves to the teeth? Absolutely. Okay. He says, though all the nations of the earth be gathered against it. Okay? Now, come back here to Luke 21. And let's see what is going to happen. One of the things we were told by Jesus to watch for. Not only the things that we have just talked about, but he says this. Verse 20, Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 20. Now this has happened in the past when the Romans conquered Jerusalem. But Jesus is again talking about the end times, and this is a parallel chapter to Matthew 24. Verse 20 reads, "But when you see Jerusalem being," and that's present tense passive in the Greek, "being surrounded by armies." The question is, how close do they have to come? Are there armies nearby? Hateful enemies nearby? Yes, indeed. "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, then know that her desolation has drawn near." And what have they said? If Jerusalem is attacked, it will start World War III, right? Okay. Well, all the prophecies of the Bible show it's going to happen, but it's going to work out differently than most people have thought. All right. So there are some of the prophecies that are taking place right today. Now, let me just mention this. Okay. Let's go on here. Verse 21. "Now it's going to get to a point that those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those within her go out, and let not those in the countries come into her. For these are the days of vengeance, so that all things that have been written may be accomplished." Everything that God has said is going to take place and will happen. Now, it's not going to be very nice times. Just hold your place here and come back to Zechariah 12 again. Okay? Let's see what was prophesied. Now, as we read Zechariah 12 again, I want you to recall the, what was it, 1969, whichever war, Yom Kippur War. Huh? 67 war. Everyone thought because the Arabs had their armies, they all gathered around. Egypt came in with their tanks and everything like that, and they expected the Jews to be defeated. But you never attack God's people on his holy day. So let's read what happened to them. He says here, "In that day I will strike every horse with terror and his rider with madness." Verse 4. "I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the people with blindness." Well, since they were riding in tanks and trucks and things like this, it happened to the vehicles. "Remember how few of the planes and munitions and things that the Jews had, and yet they destroyed the whole Egyptian army in the Sinai." Verse 5. "And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the people of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah," that is all the leaders, "like a hearth of fire among the wood and like a torch among the sheaves." What happened when they went into Lebanon? What happened when they went into Egypt? Took the Sinai. "They shall devour all the people all around on the right hand and on the left hand. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her place, even in Jerusalem." Okay, then this leads up to the return of Christ. So we can look and say, those things have happened. These are contemporary prophecies that we have seen. Yeah, we can talk about ancient prophecies, true, but these are quite something when you understand that, see. Now, maybe this will help you understand the news a little more when you watch what is happening. Okay. Now, let's go ahead and take a little break. Then we'll come back and we'll go over some more things.